American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July.
There we go.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
How about that?
Yeah, wow.
R.I.P. One of the best, worst country artists ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm getting that.
You getting it?
Yeah.
I'm keeping it going.
I know, yeah. I mean, I...
You know, I'm going to keep it up high.
I presume this is a 9/11 song.
It is, yeah. I'm going to run it on a loop for the whole show.
Great. People will love that. Yeah. Will.
The person is always like, stop playing music.
Sorry, dude. Yeah.
This will be the guy with sensory issues. Yeah. Okay, but here's why I had to leave it on, right?
Okay, why?
Because I'll bring it down.
Justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A.
All right.
Because we'll put a boot in
your face. There it is. There it is. One of the best, the most iconic lines of any country music song, is it not?
It's true. I've heard it many times.
It's got lasting power, man. I mean, that's what, over 20 years old now, and people still love it.
Yeah. Wow.
183 million streams on Spotify, you know? One of the greats. It doesn't beat Have You Forgotten in my canon of 9/11 songs.
I think you were listening to Have You Forgotten in the delivery room when I was having Claire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember why, but it, you know, it's just important to always remember 9/11 in any moment, whether giving birth or, you know, at funerals. I hope it's played at my funeral.
Yeah. I'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, please put that in there. People will love that. Especially if it's a long time from now, you know, if it's like 2050 or 2060 and you're just playing Daryl Worley's Have You Forgotten, you know, and it's like, all right, no one really gets the bit, but you know, he does. He's smiling. He's smiling from above, you know?
Yeah.
You're real elderly and just kind of barely holding on.
Yeah.
But you're just like, but he loves this, though.
It would be a great troll.
Everyone, that's just real puzzled.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go down.
I won't play that, but, you know, it's about 9/11. We've played it many times before.
Yeah,
he's got other great ones as well. You may not be familiar. I mean, you are familiar, but I don't know if you know that he is the great innovator of this one. Another high, 130 million streams on this one.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecue.
Yeah?
Yeah, this song actually slaps, though.
You, sir, do not have a pair of testicles.
He's not taking himself too seriously in this one, you know?
Hey, Red Solo,
like, if you're going to be shit, just kind of acknowledge that you're shit, you know?
They are decomposable, and unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac and Kiss My
Ass. There we go. You know, there's a little populism there, home foreclosure and stuff. But yeah, may he rest in peace.
I wonder if the podcast listeners know of the...
He's dead. Toby Keith, dead.
Oh, okay.
If that's what you're talking about, maybe they don't know.
No, I wasn't going there. I was going with...
Not alive anymore.
Okay. No, I was wondering if they knew about the time that you averted one of my dad's meltdowns by turning on Red Solo Cup and their Echo Dot.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about that, but I was they, you know, for some reason they had an Echo Dot. You know, apparently sometimes you go into houses and they just have these like smart home assistants and no one ever uses them for anything. They're just there for the FBI to listen to you and whatnot. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's just put a recording device in my house. That's a good call. And, but you know, to my mind, if you ever see one of those, just say, "Hey Google, play Red Solo Cup." And like, you just really can't go wrong with that.
My dad was getting real upset at my mom because my mom was bathing my daughter in the sink.
Okay.
And a plastic cup had fallen into the drain. Mm-hmm. And my mom couldn't get it unstuck.
Okay.
And so my dad was getting really mad at her.
Mm-hmm, as he does.
And she was trying to get it out, and it was just, you know, the tensions were really rising. And then Matt whispered to the Echo Dot, "Play Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith."
Yeah, yeah. That felt like the moment for that, you know? It's a cup-themed song.
And no one could figure out what had happened.
Yeah, I whispered and I left the room.
Yeah, no one could understand what was taking place, and it just sort of derailed the tension. And everyone was just sort of like, "What? What is this? Who put this on? What's?"
I think you could try it with your phone. Like, just get your Spotify app on. If your spouse is really, really pissed at you and is angry at you, just point it at them while you're playing Red Solo Cup.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over great.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
If we get into an argument, next time we do, I'm going to just point Red Solo Cup at you.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'm sure I'll be very amused.
Shall we quickly with the audio grab bag?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Okay. You know, I had multiple streams going there.
Whoops.
But yes, so that was a little mix I did. Like Solo Cup and the Audio Grab Bag Pile. This is a Valentine's Day one, which is going to be the theme of the episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will purposely not send flowers on Valentine's Day. What makes you think I'm going to let the big media trick me into sending you flowers like a fucking punk? You know, I'm not opposed to flowers, man. But if we ain't loving each other on Tuesday at 2 p.m., then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, this is Matt.
I will purposely not send flowers on Valentine's Day.
Purposely.
What makes you think I'm going to let the big media trick me into sending you flowers
purposely.
Like a fucking punk? You know, I'm not opposed to flowers, man. But if we ain't loving each other on Tuesday at 2 p.m., then what the fuck are we doing?
This is one of my favorite masculine, self-help guys.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's giving great advice.
Yeah, I mean, I understand being like, look, this is really commercial and we should be celebrating our love all the time. But he's not really making that critique. He's just saying you're a little bitch if you send the girl flowers, which I don't think is the right lesson here.
I don't know if you saw this today, another Valentine's Day story. Shots were fired at the end of the Kansas City Chiefs victory parade and rally in downtown Kansas City, Missouri on Wednesday.
I did see that. Someone died.
One person is dead and as many as 15 people may have been injured, 5 seriously, police said.
It's really bad, man.
2 people are in custody. Officials say they do not believe the motive was terrorism.
What was the motive then?
Look at the idea that terrorism is a motive.
Like, yeah, I just wanted to do terrorism.
I just liked terror. I don't know. Like, it's never. terrorism is a strategy to achieve some kind of goal, potentially.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, he just liked terror. You
it's
know?
Like when the ticket would make fun of people for, quote, donating to Hurricane Katrina. When people were like, everybody donate and give money to Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. And they were just kind of shorthanding it. But I remember the ticket found that really amusing.
I would love to have like a prosecutor go to a jury and be like, motive? His motive was killing. His motive was murder.
Doing it for the thrill.
He wanted to murder. And I mean, I suppose there are some people for whom that's true, but you would usually call that thrill killing.
Thrill killing, yeah.
It's never just the thing itself. That's his motive. He's no purpose to the action at all, except you know, it's an end in itself. It's very Kantian in that way.
He just felt like criming. You know, sometimes we all feel like it, and some of us go through with it, and you know, Who among us?
Speaking of, there were some very red flags, I felt like. I feel like people haven't digested, you know, the Swifty community. Travis Kelce really misbehaving.
He really did, man. That made me uncomfortable. I was, I mean, literally triggering. It was actually triggering. I was triggered.
It was quite disturbing when he jostled his elderly coach.
And, like, screamed in his face.
Yeah.
You can't do that. That's not nice.
I mean, you know, you just have to wonder, well, what if Taylor makes him mad?
Yeah,
I'm wondering.
I know people hate Taylor. I have an assortment of friends who hate Taylor, like really hate her.
I like Taylor Swift.
And I mean, yeah, so do I. I'm like, she's so beautiful and she's tall.
Okay, that's just, yeah, just attracted to Taylor Swift.
Well, you know,
more than anything else.
Who among us? you know, she's widely revered as a lovely person, I think.
She's 5'11". So
she's so tall, dude.
Almost my height.
She's like an elf. She looks elfin.
Yeah. Yeah, she seems fine. She seems like basically nice and pleasant.
Yeah, well, at any rate, I hate to think of her like cowering, you know, while this huge football player screams in her face, dude.
I watched that part of the broadcast. I have to say, I'm a sports lover, as you know.
I know.
And so after the end of the third quarter, I just went to bed.
Yeah.
That's how much I love. It was tied going into the fourth, and I was like, I've seen enough football today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen at least 75% of the plays. What more could they show me that I don't have on tape already?
It's just X's and O's.
But the way they describe that in the broadcast, you know, Tony Romo was just like, he's telling him, keep me in the game, coach. It was like he's mad at him. And the play that happened before was the running back just fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was Kelce going to be the runner? Like, were they going to hand it off to him? Like,
yeah.
What difference could it have made if he was in the game? It didn't make any sense. And then he, you know, screamed at the end. That was not like red flag. It was just kind of problem. Just troubling.
It was really troubling.
It was like drunk guy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't drunk, presumably. He just played a football game.
I was really disappointed in that. I thought that was really bad. I'm going to intervene for Taylor.
I feel like there hasn't been enough discourse on it. I was thinking the next day we were going to get a whole bunch of, you know, domestic abuse type, you know, potentially problematic tweets, you know.
Do you think he's getting a pass because he's Taylor Swift's BF?
Well, I don't know. I would think that would make him more of a target, no?
Yeah, but I mean, maybe I don't know. How do they goodwill.
How do they react to her boyfriends in general, the Swiftie community?
I mean, that's a good question because I'm not very acquainted with the Swiftie community. I'm somewhat estranged from the Swiftie community.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how they deal with that. I know that they've hated some of her boyfriends. Remember Maddie Healy?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he said the thing about Ice Spice that was, you know, borderline racist or whatever.
What did he say about Ice Spice again?
You just put me on the...
Sorry, I just don't remember.
Let me find
you know, if it's specifics. Unspeakable, you can just paraphrase.
It was, I mean, it's not unspeakable, per se. Okay, he called the rapper, who is Nigerian and Dominican, an Inuit Spice Girl and a chubby Chinese lady.
Oh, okay.
Healy also imitated Hawaiian and Chinese accents. You know, I mean, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think that's
allowed anymore because of woke and whatnot. You know?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Fucking woke, taking everything from us. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, what about, you know, all the other ones?
Yeah, I don't know if they have liked her other boyfriends.
I saw, you know, there was a commercial that was kind of like, it was like a touching commercial about how, dads and their daughters were like bond, you know, they were going to watch sports together now.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, dads and daughters, maybe they don't get along or do things together because they have such different interests now. you know, because of the Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they watch football together. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there was some discourse around that. And of course, some people were very upset about it, you know, because it's like these fucking dads, you know, just like, can't you just show some fucking interest?
Yeah.
But I thought it was noteworthy that, you know, I have tried to get Jane to get into Taylor Swift and to watch sports, and she has declined both.
Yeah, she's not interested.
It's quite an interesting feat. I don't know what to make of it, you know? I don't know if it's to be celebrated or not, but I'm even like, hey, your best friend loves Taylor Swift. You should go to the fucking movie version of the concert with her. And she's like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, she's like, miss me with that.
Look, man, I don't really care for the Taylor Swift stuff except that one song where the music video, she's a zombie because of, like, zombies.
Yeah, they just like scary shit. I would have never thought I'd had to, you know, really sell a 7-year-old girl on a beautiful pop star dressed up like a princess. But, you know.
That her best friend is real into.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the whole thing? You just copy her. I thought that's how shit works.
No, she's got enough of you in her that she's like, fuck it. I'm not interested.
No. The only musical artist that she's ever wanted to hear qua artist, you know, like there's songs, there's one off songs that she'll name. The only one that where she's like, I want to hear more from that person was Alicia Keys.
I mean, understandable. Well, I did think her performance at the Super Bowl was a bit lackluster.
It was rough. It was, and Usher, it was garbage.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. I did like Lil Jon.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he was a good hype man.
Yeah, you know, he says what in the way he says what, you know, that's a good bit. He's still running with that.
He did Turn Down for What, which is a classic, party classic. He seemed to get the crowd going, which was his job, so well done to him.
Yeah. Now, I guess we're going to get into let's do the Valentine's Day stuff.
Okay.
And then if there's more time, I'll tell you about my mom's finances.
Oh, great. Well, what an action-packed episode we have here. You know, in terms of news, Valentine's Day-related news, do you remember Rachel Dolezal?
I do, yes. She was the NAACP local chair who was claiming to be trans black, basically. Yep. And we had a little discourse about whether that was allowed, and the decision was that it was not allowed. I must admit, I took the opposite position. I said it ought to be allowed. I was outvoted. So for the time being, I'm in the minority on that.
I will say her case is a little more complicated than it seems, right? Like when you get into her past and her history.
Well, I mean, you know, there's the specific case and there's still the general principle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine there may be specific cases of transgender identification that you might say, not that one, but while still affirming the general principle.
Yeah.
It, you know,
Well, we had a good time with that discourse. It was memorable.
What's going on with her? She's news?
She has lost her job as a teacher in the Catalina Foothills School District for having an OnlyFans.
Yeah, I've actually seen a few of these types of
stories.
I
actually have a photo for you to consider.
Okay. That's just a big blurred box.
No, you can definitely see what's going on.
Okay, so it's just meant to be suggesting that she's spreading her cheeks.
Showing hole, as you call it, yeah.
Oh, is that? Okay.
As
yeah,
you
yeah,
always
I do
say.
Call that sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the future I wanted for Rachel, honestly.
It's an interesting question, because I have seen a number of these stories of teachers with OnlyFans, and, you know.
I don't really understand why they're being fired.
This is... I'm not too comfortable with it.
Rachel Dolezal, call 1-800-MAT-BRUNIG for your legal representation.
Hey, I don't know about her in particular, but if you're in that situation, do give me a call. do give me, send me an email. I don't know what I'll do, but I'll look into it.
We need to cut a radio ad that's like the labor radical lawyer who will take your crazy employment case.
Send me, I can't talk about it obviously now, but I'm getting more cases and, you know, they're interesting. People contact me with some weird problems, and I come up with equally weird solutions. So,
you know, I see myself as someone who does that as well. So I highly respect it.
All I'm saying is, if you think your situation is hopeless, it might not be.
You haven't considered that your boss might be doing ULPs.
There might be an NLRB angle you haven't considered. Yeah. Liz teases me about this all the time, yeah, and has also gotten her friend to tease me about it. Where it's like everything that happens is like, there's an NLRB thing you can do here.
There's a ULP for that.
It's like someone is like in a custody battle, and this person is technically employed, so we could, there's this case law about husbands and wives of covered workers.
You should use the NLRB angle to sort your mom shit out. You know, it would be a reach, but we also have a bunch of relationship advices that I found on Reddit. You know about our relationship advice?
I don't. I learned in the last couple weeks, I guess, that Liz uses Reddit to read the stories people give about relationships broadly, whatever it could be, divorce, infidelity, kind of relationship catastrophes. And I, you know, just follow like hiking subreddits.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I can't fault her after having her read some of them to me. I was like, that's quite an intriguing thing. And it reminded me a long time ago when we did our reviews of the DC Urban Moms, a.k.a.
Yeah.
DCOM.
Yeah.
Forum there in DC, which...
Remember, they had an adult personals forum.
Yes, ostensibly, you know, it's about DC moms. You know, there's all these moms groups on Facebooks, and when I'm part of a moms group in Stanford, actually. No, they stopped emailing me.
They can't just kick you off for being a dad.
I know. I guess they can. I don't know. I'll see if there's an NLRB angle there. But I think they have. I should legit think they're just like, Matthew, fuck no. I'm like, well, shit, I'd like to know about the shit with kids. Is there like a kids thing? What's going on? But, you know, I'm not going to push it too hard. Ostensibly, it's one of those, right? Like, you get the email and they'll be like, oh, there's a cool event going on with the kids and blah, blah, blah. You know, mini golf at the library.
Yeah.
And, but then there was this forum on there that was just fucking sex shit.
Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
It was really wild. Like, what's going on? On the one hand, I'm looking for like a used stroller and a place to, you know, an event to take my kid. And then there's some guy or lady on there talking about picking up cougars or something.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. All right. But anyways, you've honed in on that in a better way now on Reddit. So you wanted to read some of these and see my take, see your take?
Yeah. So I'm a messy bitch who lives for the drama, and I can't get enough of other people's business, which is why I have the job I have, basically.
I've become more interested in it over time.
Other people's business is the most interesting shit there is, man.
I used to be totally uninterested.
When you
in
go
it.
To somebody's house, do you look in their medicine cabinet, see if anybody's on opioids?
Absolutely not. That's absolutely a HIPAA violation for one.
No, you should definitely be doing that. I used to love, as a child, very intricate dollhouses because I felt like you could peer in on other people's lives, like see the cross-section of their house and imagine they're moving throughout it, et cetera, et cetera. And that was the most interesting thing in the world to me, even before I could read. That was interesting. Now I'm reading, as it happens, the Vampire Hunter D novels for a bunch of reasons I won't get into. But I was going to tell you, I like these novels because they're so sincere. The protagonist is awesome. He's like the greatest there is. And it's unabashedly so. You're like, but there's going to be a fatal flaw. No, there isn't, bitch. The dude's just awesome. He's just the best there is, and that's the fucking final word on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that's very earnest, right? It's a very non-cynical way to write a novel. Anyways, getting back to the crazy relationship advice subreddit, it's an iron law that the relationships posted about have to be absolute trolley problems. Like, they're just fucking insane and there's always some weird ultimatum or whatever. And also, it's an iron law that the responses have to fucking suck. So everyone giving advice is like some beardo in their mom's basement.
I have a Reddit account with my name on it.
Yeah.
And I have posted occasionally in socialism Reddits, and people are... I have had people, is that really you? You know,
yeah.
I should take that account, which is a pretty credible account.
Yeah.
You know, as me, it's got my Rawls avatar and everything, and just start posting in these relationship advice threads.
I think, yeah. I mean, the non-monogamy ones are amazing. There was one.
All right. Hit me with one.
All right. So there was a non-monogamy one where a guy was like, okay, my wife and I have recently decided to open up the relationship, mm-hmm. our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was instantly inundated with tons of attention from guys.
Yes, of course, yes. Obviously.
Forewarning to anyone considering this, that's what's going to happen.
There will be an imbalance
just based on the habits of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, opened up the marriage, wife inundated with attention. She finds a guy she starts hooking up with, and they set some ground rules, the husband and wife.
Mm.
And their ground rules are like, if I'm uncomfortable with the person or I don't like the person, I can shut it down for any reason.
Mm. Veto rights.
Yeah, veto rights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to be respectful of each other, yada, yada. Okay, great. So the wife... starts texting and sexting with this other guy, and the husband wants to read the sexts and texts because he thinks it's really arousing.
Oh, okay.
Seeing his wife flirt with another guy and like sext him.
Okay, that's better than a good motive.
And so the wife initially is fine with this,
yeah,
and just gives her login information so he can observe her messages.
Okay.
With this guy.
Yeah, it's kind of cooperative, participatory.
She tells the guy she's texting with, my husband loves reading our sexts, by the way.
Okay.
The guy she's texting with is like, that's disgusting. I don't want my sexts read by some other guy who's whacking off to them. It's like me getting a guy off.
Fair.
And so he stops texting with the wife and sexting with her and just kind of backs off in general. And the wife is like, hey, fuck you, man. Just don't read our messages. You shouldn't be reading our messages. And he's not comfortable with it, so you should just stop.
Okay.
You know, log out and quit it.
Yeah.
And I'll continue carrying on with this guy. And so it was the husband posting it, and he's like, what do? I feel like because I have veto rights, I have the right to observe their communications. And this other guy just needs to get with the program or get lost. But the wife is like, I don't want to lose this other guy. I like him. And I want to be able to sext and flirt with him without him feeling weird and creeped out by it. So what do?
I mean, I think this is not that difficult.
You don't think so?
No, because it's got the two players have the two, you know, the husband and the wife. Everything's got to be above board.
Yeah.
So if anyone's uncomfortable with anything, it's got to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, that's like the baseline element. Like, you could just establish a new rule that says, also, I get to read your text. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right? I mean, why would you want to push it if the other person's not, like, that's a good way to get to divorce, right?
I would say, in my reckoning, that's where they're headed.
That's already, it's just the speed at which they get there.
You know, you can see what's happening, which is the husband is upset that the wife is trying to protect the privacy and feelings of this other man because they opened the marriage clearly with the expectation that there wouldn't be feelings for other people. There would just be sex. The sex is arousing to the husband,
mm-hmm.
but the feelings... The wife's feelings for the other guy.
See, you pick up on a little bit more.
her feelings for the other guy and her interest in protecting his emotions
mm-hmm.
is really grinding the dude's gears. And so it's a bit of a Pandora's box situation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this goes to okay. I mean, there's a variety of approaches to the non-monogamy, right?
Yeah.
And I assume there's the it seems like you have in the discourse, because my God, is there discourse? You can't go a week without five major publications writing about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep apprised of the takes, as I do.
Yeah, you got to.
You know, I'm Jared Merrick in that respect.
God, what a ringer, man.
No one let three people know. But literally, if you know, you're fucking having a ball.
The deepest of cuts.
He's probably listening.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, Jared. Send me some more emails. It seems like the word open is used to suggest casual encounters.
Yeah.
And then poly is used to describe more romantic encounters. And so it seems like maybe we're straddling the line here in this particular, because it was described as open.
Yeah.
But then it's moving more into poly.
Yeah.
You know, or at least away from casual to romantic, which is not what was maybe signed up for.
Yeah.
So if that's not what was signed up for, then that's a problem, right?
That seems to be the conflict here.
Could be a
here.
Problem even if you did sign up for it, you know?
Yeah.
Consider that.
That seems to be the conflict. And I think the guy would benefit from having those definitions clarified for him. Be like,
he needs more taxonomical help.
Yeah. You're trying to do this one thing, but it's actually turning into this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that can be controlled, because if you're going out and meeting people to have sex with as a woman, your options are pretty significant. So you're going to pick the person you get along with and like spending time with. But then how do you keep from developing feelings from someone you like spending time with and also like having sex with? It's like those are the two major components of a romantic relationship. So I think people overestimate their capacity to limit their feelings in that kind of context.
Perhaps. Next one.
Sex with my boyfriend has been making me anxious.
Okay.
After the last time we had sex almost 2 weeks ago, I realized he just didn't seem as into it as he used to be. It's not like we had crazy sex, but he used to kiss me more, now he doesn't. He used to touch me more, now he doesn't. I noticed it felt more like a checklist at this point. Do this, then do that, then go right to bed. The positions we've been doing, he seems to like. He's been doing it anytime we have sex now, but it makes me feel really exposed and self-conscious. I just don't really like it all that much, so I'm kind of in my head the whole time, and I haven't been finishing. I've asked him to help me with a toy, but last time he just didn't look that into it, so I faked it and we went to bed. Tonight was the same thing, except for the first time I went to the bathroom and started crying. I don't know why. I don't know what to say to him. I don't want him to feel like he's bad at sex. We've had great sex before. I don't want him to feel bad or anything, but after sex, he immediately passes out and I'm just here. I don't know what to do or say.
So she's insecure about her body.
Yeah, there's two different things going on here. She doesn't like the way he's having sex, and she doesn't like the way she looks.
Mm-hmm. And he,
positions
make her more
self-conscious.
Yeah. But presumably, if he's selecting them, he likes the visual.
Yeah.
Right? So we're in this weird situation where he's like, this is attractive, and she's like, it's not. Even though he is kind of the decider on that on some level, right?
Yeah.
That seems like I would advise her to get over that. No?
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you want to do? Is this person supposed to just, you could wear clothes while you had sex, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, if you want. Other than that, I don't know about the whole, the intimacy of it has declined somewhat.
My friend and her boyfriend asked me to join their relationship.
Liz has no opinion on that one.
Does anyone have any experience with this type of relationship?
to join their relationship.
Yes. Yeah, so she's... So
we're talking about a thruple.
Yeah, this
See,
is...
this is a taxonomical, a third category here now.
Yes.
We're talking poly and open is thruple.
The ages of the people here are critical, I think.
Young?
19, 21, and 19. She says... She recently came out as bisexual to everyone in my friend group.
Okay.
And while everyone took it well and hasn't affected anything, honestly, as much as I expected it to, there's one thing that happened since then that is significant. My friend group, there's a couple who has been together for quite a while. Bitch, how long? You're 19. And recently when I was hanging out with the girls, she brought something up. She said they both had a crush on me for a while and they actually want to include me in their relationship. Not just in a sexual way, but actually a three-way relationship. Mm-hmm. I find the idea crazy, but somewhat interesting, and I must admit I'm tempted to accept their offer. I've been friends with both of them for several years now, and my only concern is that I will destroy or damage the relationship, which I really do value as is.
Well, that's what is your take?
You know, I say give it a try if you want. You're young. Nobody's married or anything, right? Nobody has kids. You're not like really jeopardizing a very serious commitment with, you know, dependents involved.
Stakes are low, you're saying.
The stakes are pretty low. And so, you know, if you want to try things out, I suppose I'm not going to be the one to stop you. I will say this doesn't sound like the most stable thing in the world, but it's probably also the case that nobody involved is really looking for the most stable thing in the world. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, she's kind of treating it like she's very, you know, she's very worried about the stability of them.
Here's the first response.
Okay. Get some replies now.
Yeah, the polyamory subreddit has experience in this, and most will tell you to run away and or expect to be treated like a lower priority toy.
Okay. Wait. So wait. I'm missing something. Why? So the poly people are against this?
Yeah.
That
seems to be what they're saying in the thread.
So is the poly stuff? It's only if you have separate people. Is that the idea? You have a spouse, or I guess they call it primary.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you have a secondary and maybe a tertiary. And so some of these arrangements and the polycules get very complicated. But I guess they are against a literal, like a three or four way coupling. Or I guess it wouldn't be a coupling, but you know what I mean?
It seems to be the opinion of the people in the thread that these are doomed to fail. Is the couple looking for a unicorn, someone says. A unicorn is a term used in thruple speak to mean a couple seeking someone who drops into their lives but doesn't interfere with their lives in any way. So essentially what happens is the third makes the couple's lives more exciting. At first everything seems lovely, but it's because they don't want the unicorn to be any true part of their lives. They are fit in for particular times like Friday night and Sundays at 2 p.m., but the couple spend every night together and their meals, finances, families are mixed together. The unicorn is secondary.
Yeah, so this is a that is not a thruple.
Yeah, argument is that this is not going to be a thruple.
Oh, okay. Well, that's that. I mean, the person seems like they would be okay with that? No, because
yeah.
They're saying they don't want to interfere too much.
The couple tends to think of the third as a solo act, and the couple as a unit. The three are supposed to be, in fact, three separate entities. Each should date each other. Like, the original couple still spends time together, but the third should also spend individual time with each person. This is what the poly people are saying.
Three units?
Yeah, it's like the couple is not a unit. You're all just three separate entities, and you all need to independently...
Oh, yes, each... Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And as a group is the third unit? So is that right? Or the units are just people?
The person is saying the units are just people. This is one qualm I have is that I don't think that's the case. I think relationships actually do make people into units.
Yeah, that's... Well, and why would you use unit to describe an individual? Like unit you would think of as... but okay, I get it. So they're saying, yes. Yeah, so the the three players need to all have one-on-one interactions in addition to the group interaction.
Yeah.
Okay. This seems overly prescriptive to me. It's interesting now to think about internal battles within the... Because, you know, when you read the articles, you don't really get a lot of this flavor.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize that you would literally have someone who's like, that's not the right kind of non-monogamy. Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, so you're... No, I'm for generally... all that, but like that particular, you actually need to tweak it to make it this. I would think of all people, they would kind of be like, well, maybe it'll work for you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, different people, different things, different desires, you know? But no, apparently they are like, nope, that never works.
Tried it before. Be prepared to lose these friends, as the odds are not in favor of it working out long term.
But see, this I mean, what are the odds in for any of this, you know? You know what I mean?
There is a virtually 100% chance that this ends catastrophically, but it might be fun in the meantime, so do whatever you want.
Oh, well, you know, at least they're open to it.
Everybody's against it.
The thruple is, so there are no thruple partisans in the non-monog subreddits.
Nope, just people saying they're unicorn hunters. It won't end well for you. It seems like people are saying if you want to have a thruple, all three parties need to enter into it at the same time.
Yeah, I could see that. If the idea is, that it needs to be very equal or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Or at least quickly they need, you know, there can't be a big gap because obviously, whoever comes in third is going to be a junior partner in the coalition.
I do think, it has a high likelihood of ending in disaster, but also you're 19. Like, how often do relationships from your teenage years last you?
Well,
but you know, we're rare in a lot of ways.
Sometimes they do.
We're rare in a lot of ways. I know a young woman right now who's dating her high school boyfriend, and she asked me if she should marry him.
Mm.
And I was like, I really don't know what to say. I'm glad that I married mine. But how often do those relationships work out?
Yeah, I mean, you know? I think the problem with this kind of advice in general, and one of the reasons why I struggle with personal advice, is like everything is probabilistic, right?
Yeah.
So people, you know, the people who are good advice givers, they're very confident and they're very not thinking about things correctly.
Yeah.
Like that's what it, you have to be kind of not a good thinker to be good at giving personal advice. Because if you think well and clearly, you recognize that every action someone does, there's nothing that's 100%. And so even if you can say, hey, this particular thing you're proposing on doing, mm-hmm. I've run the math and it looks like the best you could do is you could say, I've run the math as best as I can based on your characteristics. Obviously, there's no math to run, but mm-hmm. conceptually, yeah, I give it a 45% shot. That's really what you can give.
Yeah.
You know, and usually when you're giving these, so like the people on that thread, they're not even looking at they're not even saying, okay, what are the specific individual characteristics of you?
Yeah.
They're just saying across the entire data set of thruples, you know, low probability. Or they'll just say 100% chance of failure, which can't be true. And so what do you do about that? Like, mm-hmm. try to get as much information as you can. And even then you're like, no one fucking knows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even our own marriage, such as it is, it's going solid.
Yeah.
But who fucking knows? You never know. 10 years, 15 years, some crazy ass shit, you know, like, so what can I say?
Yeah.
You know? The future is uncertain. And sometimes you just got to take leaps. I mean, our situation, I was thinking about this today for some reason. Oh, it's because someone was talking about long-term relationships and stuff. Our relationship was long-term for like 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And when we got married, The plan. Oh, we had talked about this. That's why I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. Our literal understood plan was we're going to get married and you're going to live in Providence, Rhode Island and go to Brown while I was in Washington, D.C. at the NLRB.
Yeah.
This is an insane idea.
Yeah.
If someone were to come to you and say, Liz,
yeah,
I've been with this guy for 5 years, mostly long distance, and I think we're going to get married, but the plan is for the next 7 years, we're going to live apart, basically.
Yeah.
Except for during summers and winters, but like during the academic semester.
Yeah.
I mean, what would the advice be? Hell no. What are you fucking stupid?
Yeah. I'd be like, drop out of your PhD program.
Well, yeah. Either one of you guys got to give up your shit or don't get married.
Drop
right?
out and get a real job. Trust me.
But you know what I mean? Like you would never advise someone to do that. And And so, I don't know, if you were to look at it on paper, that's got to be a 1% chance.
Yeah, it's a low probability win.
And yet, here we are. So, you know, personal advice, it just seems kind of tough.
Yeah, that's what makes these forums so great, is no one actually has any idea what they're talking about.
No one knows. You just take a stab in the dark and you get real comfortable. Even the people like, this never works. It's like, how many of these... How plugged in are you with shit? I don't know anyone who's tried a throuple. Like, what is this sample I'm using here?
Also, tell the listeners what you told me about the population data survey when you realized that families...
Oh, yeah. This is a spiel I've given many. I actually gave this spiel before our debate to the R neoliberal guy. Maybe that's why he voted for us.
Yeah.
He was just really entranced by this point I was making. Oh, shit.
No. Dear.
Yeah, so when I first started doing like poverty data, you know, I found the data set that you use called the Current Population Survey. And, you know, the way that people do it is you just sort of crunch the numbers, you know, you can kind of find demographic data, you can do all this kind of stuff, right? It's a sample, you know. But, you know, one thing you can do to kind of have fun with it is. What I did is I printed out, I mean, I outputted every single household in the current population survey. And, you know, each household has a number. And I, you know, I wrote a little code so that you would take each person in the family and you would put, you know, their age, their earnings, their race, their whatever, poverty status, like on a line.
Yeah.
And so you could look. You would have 60,000 families in a text file, and you could just kind of randomly scroll through this giant file, and you could see the household.
Yeah.
And you could see who's in this household.
Yeah.
And what's their ages, and how much money do they make, and what's their poverty status, and what's their education, and what's all that. You could just look at the family. It's like peering into 60,000 homes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. And when you do that, you realize households look strange. They look totally bizarre, like shit you would never think of. And a lot of them do.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I think in most people's minds, you think most households fall into a handful of categories, right? Households meaning literally like a house, a housing unit.
Mm-hmm.
You've got maybe like some young people who are living alone or with roommates.
Yeah.
That's sort of group one. Then you got some couples who are just living together. Maybe they're married. Maybe they're cohabitating. Maybe it's a retired couple, right? So it's sort of two people who are coupled, no kids.
Yeah.
Then you got the couple with kids or maybe the single adult with kids, right? And that's kind of it, right? You're either with kind of your family or you're living alone and that's kind of it. And instead, it's just you just see a wild array of shit. In this, right? There's a lot of households where there's just like a random unrelated individual living in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a full-blown family and there's like a random border in it. You'll have doubled up households with multiple families where the two families are unrelated, but they're living in the same housing unit.
Yeah.
You've got weird things where just like some random elderly person is in the household who's unrelated, or maybe, you know, it's just old, you know, your mom's living with you.
Yeah.
But living with everyone else, you know, just like a normal family. You've got, of course, like a family where like the teenager has a kid.
Yeah.
and the kid is there, but they're all living sort of in mom's home, you know, with like the teen mom and the baby and the, it's just, there's just a lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah.
And it's not weird. It's just, you don't anticipate it. And it's one of the things that really drove home to me, though I already had this intuition that the welfare state really needs to be individualized.
Yeah.
As they say, right? So when you're thinking about giving welfare benefits to, you know, how to design welfare benefits, you can base it on the characteristics of an individual, the characteristics of the family unit that they're in, and or the characteristics of the household unit that they're in. And there's lots of different ways to try to define family. That gets very complicated. Like the family unit for Medicaid is different than the family unit for food stamps. Like how it's defined, like the eligibility. Anyways, the way to go is to base it on the characteristics of the individual.
Yeah.
Don't think about, well, who's living with them? How much does their spouse make?
Yeah.
How much does, you start doing that shit and it gets real weird and real complicated. But if you just focus on the individual, what happens is every individual gets an adequate income for themselves. And then it doesn't matter how they combine into households.
Yeah.
Because from there, anyone could live in any household and it's going to work.
Yeah.
But when you go up to trying to base it on family units or household units and all that, that's when shit breaks down, gets really complicated, and things end up not working.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess your point here is that it's kind of the same.
It's having some technical difficulties. Hang on. What's going on? What's going on? Isn't like a Charlie horse?
I squeezed my my hamstring for some reason, and I got just a cramp in it real bad. You know, like a muscle cramp. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
It usually happens in my calf, but yeah, that was strange.
I think you'd have to have some kind of muscle tone for that to happen to you. So I can't say it happens to me, but I've heard of people getting like a Charlie horse.
Is that what those are called?
Is it? I mean, it was in the game Operation.
Yeah, muscle spasm or cramp.
Yeah.
Often happens in the leg. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, but not in the calf. It was in my hamstring. It contracts without your control and does not relax. That's what it was. Whew.
People are out there making all kinds of situations work, so who knows? I got a boner while in the sauna with my girlfriend. Now she's angry and says I disrespected her culture.
Is she from Finland?
She is.
There we go.
Correctamundo. I think, again, the ages are important. The man is 20, so I'm surprised he doesn't have a boner at all times. And the woman is 19. Quote, my girlfriend is from Finland, where sauna culture and nudity is way different than here in the States. She is still living with parents who are first-generation immigrants and wanted a built-in sauna in their house, which is cool. I had personally never tried an authentic Finnish sauna until last night, and well, yeah, it didn't go that well. I'm not used to seeing the opposite sex naked in non-sexual situations, so I got a boner while we were doing the whole sauna thing. I noticed she wasn't happy with it because she started getting passive-aggressive, but today she's opened up about being really disrespectful towards her culture and that you can't just get a boner at a spa or mixed sauna. I'm not really sure how to navigate this because, to me, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but she thinks it is. Clarification, it was just me and my girlfriend in the sauna.
You know, cultures, it's a different culture, I guess. Remember when Fareed Zakaria was peppering Sana Marin about being in a sauna?
Yeah.
And she was really fucking just kind of waving him off.
Yeah, yeah.
Batting him down.
Like, yeah.
Chill out, Fareed. Yeah. He's like, you have an all-female cabinet. Do you guys sometimes do business in the sauna?
Fareed.
Jesus, like, Jesus Christ. Get this guy out of here.
Yeah. Okay, Fareed, time to write your fan fiction.
Right, buddy, I know, I get it a lot. She's still single, by the way.
Yeah, she should call me.
Still single.
1-800-LIZ-BRUNIG. God, she's gorgeous. Matt's looking at pictures of her. Yeah. Wow. Okay. What a woman. I don't know.
She's doing NATO shit now, though.
Yeah.
So we have to.
We have to not stan anymore.
Yeah.
Now we stan Nushi.
But I mean, if she came to New York and wanted to hang out, you know, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. she should consider it. I think, you know, it might be disrespectful to the culture in that it's not participating in the culture. I guess in Finland, where there are mixed gender saunas and stuff, people just learn not to do this. But I was under the impression, of course, I don't have a dick, so I don't know, that it's sort of involuntary, especially in youth. So, like, what do you do about that?
Yeah, I would say it is quite involuntary, especially in youth, as you say.
I mean, Augustine makes it seem like getting a boner is involuntary. Because he says in the Garden of Eden, Adam could control his penis like a limb. This is his opinion.
All right. You know,
he's like, you could get an erection at will for pure reasons like reproduction, but now you can only get them because of lust.
Okay. Why? Sure. So, sure.
I mean, you wish you could just control your dick.
Where did he get this information?
He's just doing some logic.
Just reasoning.
Yeah. He's just reasoning.
All right.
That's where Augustine gets all of his shit. This is why Protestants are like, Catholicism is bullshit, because it's a bunch of people just doing logic.
I suppose there's a desensitization that occurs if you grow up doing the sauna all the time, right? And like, he just hasn't experienced it.
Yeah.
So that's not really on him. He just needs some time to get desensitized to it.
Yeah. Augustine also says he was doing something in the baths that his dad saw and that made his dad run home and tell Augustine's mom they were going to have grandchildren. And it's unclear what exactly he was doing, but that had to
be. Is it unclear? I mean, it can only be I suppose in its very specific details it's unclear, but
yeah.
In the general form, I think it's clear what he must have been doing.
Yeah, getting it on in the baths. What a saint. Last one is dark. My friend, 19 male, makes his girlfriend, 20 female, degrade herself in front of us. I'm worried for her and I don't know what to do.
Why are these people so young?
Yeah, because everyone on Reddit's like 10 years old, dude.
But I mean, it's been around for a long time. Aren't there older people? I feel like in the hiking subreddits, there's
maybe
older people.
Maybe they don't need relationship advice.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, as a young person, there's probably, I'm surprised there's not, how do I blowjob or whatever on
No, there. You definitely get those. You get people who are like, I'm new at sex. What do I do?
Yeah, okay. I get it now. Okay.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
There's also a subreddit that's, just maybe one of the most chaotic spaces online, just called R Sex. just got it all.
Just covered
just got
everything.
It all. People trying to write fantasies, people asking questions about sex, people sharing their opinions about sex. It's just really madcap. Anyway, in this story, the friend is the 19-year-old boy who's got a 20-year-old girlfriend.
Does he give an example?
He does.
Oh, okay.
He made her stop and sit on the floor like a dog. Mm-hmm. He made her hit herself. And then finally, the last straw was he made her take her shirt off for his friends.
Okay.
Take your top off.
And do we get any input from the lady?
No, she just seems like, he says, quote, I don't know why Sophie is so willing to do anything for Carter like this. I understand the attachment thing, he said, but she's willing to do things that make her visibly uncomfortable and upset. I can't explain that. I'm disgusted with Carter right now. It feels like he's leveraging her obsession with him and makes me worried for her. I don't know if he's doing this just to be a show-off or if he does similar things when it's just them. I honestly don't have a clue.
Well, so he's saying that she is disturbed in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't seem into it.
Well, I mean, is this a hard one, right? That's bad.
Yeah, but what does the friend do about it?
I don't know.
What can a friend do in a situation like that?
See, this is, you know, I feel like people are undersell the not having very many friends thing at times, you know. I undersell it too, but I never have to contend with the question of, do I need to intervene here? Because I'm, you know, it's always, the answer is always, you're way too distant to do something like that.
Yeah, no, but this guy is like, I want to intervene. What do I do?
Yeah, I mean, what? You just talk to the guy, I guess? Like, hey.
I think you try to talk to the girl.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But he says she's super shy. And
not that shy, obviously.
Really afraid of other people and only listens to this guy. But I think you have to try to talk to her.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Tell her, you know.
See, I don't know, man. That's really troubling. That's actually very troubling.
It's very dark, isn't it?
You know, with this other stuff, it's kind of fun, I guess. You know, you're like, oh, whatever, you know, throuple.
Yeah.
You know, give it a go. Why not?
throuple this, boner that.
Yeah. Yeah. The question is this person engaged in essentially domestic violence?
Yeah, some kind of abuse for
is
sure.
Is it just kink?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's the question, right?
That's the question.
Where does DV end and kink begin is a great question for the fucking ages. But yeah, I don't know. I guess if you are at all concerned that it is DV, you should probably do something.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like stuff you couldn't exactly call the cops about because you're like, sit down, and she just does it. You don't like push her down or anything.
Yeah, I would say read the materials about how to help someone who is in a DV situation, as they say, because it's apparently not as straightforward as you might think.
Call your local DV or rape crisis center and ask for help.
Yeah,
intervening.
That seems to be they seem to have thought through a lot of strategies to deal with it, because there's a psychological component to it that it's not as easy as, oh, this person just is ready to be rescued type thing. There's a lot of things you have to get through first before you can be effective at helping them. So
yeah,
I guess that would be my advice.
Tough one. It's a tough one.
Well, I'm glad you ended on that one. That's a great...
Well, I have one more.
Okay, give me another one.
My 22 female boyfriend, 21 male, gave me an ultimatum after I told him about my sexual fantasy. How do I not lose him? Long story short, I've always fantasized about being in a gangbang and my boyfriend participating in it.
Okay.
A couple of nights ago when we were talking spicy stuff, we revealed our untold kinks to each other.
Right.
His doesn't involve other people, but is definitely not vanilla. Definitely want more details on
what
that.
What is it? What are you doing?
Spit it out. When I told him mine, I expected him to be surprised, but instead he looked disgusted. He said, whoa, nah, 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 and got off the couch.
That's not appropriate.
I followed him, apologizing if I crossed a boundary. He looks at me and says he doesn't mean to kink shame me, but he never thought I'd have a kink like this, and he's definitely not okay with this. I told him that it's just a fantasy and I won't be asking him to do anything, to which he doesn't say anything.
What a baby.
He then says he's got to head back home, and I pretty much knew where this is going. I told him I love him. He said okay and left. He's been distancing himself, not replying to texts.
If you don't want to be exposed to something, don't get into the discussion, right? Like, presumably there was a mutual decision to say, all right, give me the wildest thing. In which case, if you're not ready, prepared for whatever may come, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, once again, I feel like the ages are so critical here. 22 and 21. It's like, dude, there are more things in heaven and earth than you've dreamed of. Like, people have more shit going on, more fetishes, kinks, whatever, fantasies, than you can even imagine. And if you're, as you're saying, asking someone to, like, open the kimono, you're going to get what you're going to get, and you just have to be prepared for that. This dude basically...
Yeah, especially if she's... it's specifically not like, I want to go... Let's go do this. Let's plan to do this.
Yeah.
Right? It's specifically just supposed to be like something that you thought about or whatever, right? Like, That's a pretty key distinction here. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't even deal with that, then you definitely shouldn't. You shouldn't have broached the conversation. And he shared his thing. Apparently, she won't say what it is, but
yeah, he shared his thing, and she was like, "Sure, that's great." And then she shared her thing, and he was like, "That's disgusting." You know, it's basically rejecting intimacy.
Right. This is yeah. I mean, it's similar to the way I'm told when people make friends, they share vulnerable things about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me though. I don't do that. You don't need to know any of my shit.
Yeah, you're like none of your business. It's funny. Speaking of reading these ridiculous vampire novels, you know. But look, my job is hard, man. I deal with difficult shit. You got to grant me my escapist bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's why you were doing this when you were a teenager and yeah, your entire
exactly.
life, right?
I, you know, it applies retroactively.
It applies, yeah, you were preparing for the toughness to come.
Setting up to take on tough work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that I have a thing for the gothic and macabre.
Uh-huh.
I'm just interested in death, et cetera, et cetera. And the mm-hmm. vampire shit all folds into that. It's not that. It's that I deserve this escapist stuff because of my hard job.
Yeah, okay.
They're always, you know, very silent protagonists who don't say anything. And I understand it's supposed to read in a certain kind of intimidating, brooding way. But I'm just like, that's just normal for men. They sit for long periods of time not saying anything because that's what you do. And I'm like, yeah, it's normal just to get a yes or no in response to a question.
I could set the world record for longest time without saying a word.
I believe
I may have said it. I may have said it at some point just without trying.
I believe you. You know, you can sit in total silence for hours. It's kind of remarkable.
Month. I've gone at least 30 days before without saying anything. It's not great for the mentals.
I wouldn't say it.
But I can do it. It would be hard to do it now. There's too many people want to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, isn't that a good development?
No, it's a positive development. But yeah, I don't know. I guess some people are chattier than others.
Yeah.
When I go
chatty.
To your fancy parties with all your fancy intellectual friends,
mm-hmm.
I tend not to say very much.
Yeah, and that's crazy because people definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
I have such imposter syndrome about all that shit. I'm like, these fancy intellectuals wouldn't hang out with me if they knew I was just a fucking dork.
I don't have that.
Yeah.
That's not how I feel. I'm not like intimidated by it. I'm just like, I don't really know what people are on about other shit and stuff. Are they interested in my stuff? I don't know.
Yeah.
Got a few spiel. You want to hear about the welfare state? You want to hear about, you ever heard of that? You ever heard of the welfare state?
I mean, they would do well to hear of the welfare state.
I got this whole unified theory of the welfare state.
Yeah, the probably, grand unified
yeah,
theory.
Like you probably haven't heard it. You probably you think, oh, I know about you, but you mine's real clean. It's real clean. So this is non-worker. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. You probably haven't seen it laid out as cleanly as I have.
Yeah.
Or I could tell them about labor law stuff. You know? That's the other thing.
Be like, yeah.
I got these crazy NLRB theories. I'd be like, you know, one time I filed a ULP based on a movie I saw.
Okay.
Yeah. They actually said I could do it. I knew I that I could, and they actually agreed that I could do it. But they said the movie had premiered 8 months earlier at the Cannes Film Festival, and therefore it was time barred.
Aww.
But they agreed with my theory that it's possible to watch a movie, a documentary, that shows a ULP and then file a charge with the evidence just being that you saw the movie.
Now you just lay and wait.
The rule is you got the clock starts the first time it's played publicly, so you got to be on top of the film festival circuit, apparently.
Matt is never sleeping on a ULP.
You know, I thought that for a long time. The first time I saw that the time limit of 6 months only starts as soon as you have knowledge of the ULP, the first thing I thought was like, dude, you could always just get around this because anyone can file a ULP charge.
Yeah.
So why don't you, if you had something happen to you, okay, that was an unfair labor practice, and you dilly-dallied around, you waited 6 months, and now you can't bring the charge. You get me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the situation we're in, okay? I've never had a chance to try this. I actually don't think I'm going to try this, because if I do try it, this will probably be the case where they just get rid of the rule that allows everyone to file charges.
Yeah.
But let's say you are victimized by a ULP. You have full awareness that it happened. 6 months pass. Now you can't file the charge.
Yeah.
You go tell a friend or anyone, some random fucking person who didn't know about it, right? They don't know anything about what happened to you.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, man, let me tell you about this thing that happened to me. My employer did this and this and whatever, right? You tell them about the unfair labor practice. Okay?
Yeah.
What that person should be able to file a charge.
Yeah.
Because the time limit begins when the person has knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they had knowledge of the unfair labor practice. Right?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying here?
I see where you're going with it.
And so, theoretically, it seems like you could always, if you ever run out of time on a ULP charge, just go find some random person who never knew anything about it and could never have known anything about it and go tell them about it and then have them file the charge.
Yeah.
I think that that is logically implied by the board precedent and all this, but I've never seen someone do it. And like I said, I feel like if you were to do that, that's how you're going to get. That's when the Supreme Court steps in. It's like, yeah, you can't do this shit. But I, you know, I'm tickled enough to try it. And that's why I thought with the movies, I was like, you know, this, you could kind of do it with the movies like that.
Yeah.
And they agreed you could. That's the crazy thing. They agreed that you could see a movie and file a charge. They agreed with the basic premise of that idea. So
at the end of the day, it's a dub.
It's interesting confirmation of this little idea I have about how you can make the statute of limitations on board charges infinite.
Should we talk about the piece by Emily Gould?
Yeah, we'll end there.
That came out today.
I read the whole thing, believe it or not. Let's give the background on Emily Gould. She's a famous writer, so is her husband.
Keith Gessen is her husband, brother of Masha Gessen.
Weirdly, I thought she was the more famous of the two, but she apparently thinks it's the other way around.
You know what the problem is that she's famous because she was involved with Gawker. Mm-hmm. And she kind of had this like flippant cool girl persona, you know, and she was big with that stuff back when, you know, everyone who works for Gawker now is just whiny. But used to, if you worked for Gawker, the implication was that like you were a bruiser, you were a hard ass. You didn't care what anyone thought and you were kind of flipping off the traditional media and so on and so forth. And so I think she rose to fame when she went on Jimmy Kimmel to talk about Gawker Stalker, which was a little feature of their website where you could track where celebrities were last seen. And that was really making people, especially in the celebrity world.
That was edgelord shit.
Yeah, it was edgelord shit. You know, but you have to respect it on some level.
Yeah, you know, whom among us?
Whom among us? Anyway, she went on Jimmy Kimmel. She, you know, the interview maybe didn't go altogether in her favor. And she became known based on that. So I think for people who are like reading the internet at a certain period in time, Emily Gould is a very well-known figure. And her writing, as far as I can tell, is generally respected.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But she has an enormous inferiority complex relative to her husband because Keith Gessen is respected and admired in like the N+1, like highly elite intellectual writerly circles in New York. And that's different than being internet famous for being like a bad girl, you know?
Yeah, I mean, hey, different.
And it's the prestige. It's the prestige she wants.
Plus one, I mean.
is the prestige. Yeah, but if you live in that world.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you live in that world.
You know, it's extremely meaningful and important to be taken seriously as an intellectual.
I'm going
to
get something in plus one now.
Serious craft.
How about this? Within 6 months, off something in plus one.
All right. I'll take the deal.
Put it down. Mark it.
I know Keith Gessen, and I could just email him.
it would be so easy to get in. There's like probably 10 different doors I could use.
Yeah.
But who cares? What do you want to be an N plus one for?
You know, people take it very seriously. It's quite a velvet rope to get behind for a lot of people.
Why not the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Atlantic or the that's where I would aim, and that's where I get my shit.
Because N plus one is thought to be intellectual. It's not about reach. It's about, you know, rising to the ranks of someone who's understood to have intellectual takes that are worth listening to.
Do your intellectual shit in the other publications that people read.
Yeah. I mean, I think the small circulation is a benefit.
No, you're right. It's boutique.
It's not just anyone who can do this shit or hang in there with it.
That's part of what makes it. Yeah, I get it. Small batch, you know?
Yeah. It's small batch artisanal takes.
Yeah. I feel you.
As opposed to the New York Times, which publishes like 150 takes a day.
Sure.
You know, speaking of N plus one, I did talk to Keith back in the day because...
Don't expose any privacies.
No. You remember when that girl was like Sophie Lewis, who has become a semi-big deal now. And her deal is like, abolish the family. I hate the family.
Yeah, we've talked about
yada,
her.
Yada, yada. Yeah. So she had this tweet back in the day where she was like, did this French guy in this octopus movie not in some sense make love to the octopus?
Yeah, I remember this. And then you said no, and then she got all mad. And
yeah, I was like, factually, as a matter of fact,
yeah,
he did not fuck the octopus.
Yeah, she got mad at you.
And it's bizarre to imply that someone had sex with an animal.
Uh-huh. And Keith was like, yeah, she's crazy.
Nope. She published an essay in N plus one complaining about the fact that I had said the guy didn't fuck the octopus. And she was like, actually, Liz Brunig led a Nazi troll campaign against me. She's like, it was fully just Nazis who were saying that the guy didn't fuck the octopus.
All right. Well, you know, look, they might be wrong about some things.
I mean, in my feeling, it's your fault for giving the Nazis a dub here. Like, don't go around saying stupid shit and they won't have the opportunity to point out that's what you're doing.
So what did he say? He said...
So when she put that piece up, I was like, Keith.
You know, discourse matters.
I contacted him and I was like, Keith, you can't just say that I'm involved with aiding and abetting, directing the actions of literal Nazis when all I said was the guy factually did not have sex with the octopus, and it's weird to suggest people, accuse people of having sex with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Like, that's a line we can draw, isn't it? You're not supposed to have sex with animals. You can come up with a million reasons that's the case. You know, you can say, oh, they can't consent. They can't communicate their consent, whatever. You can come up with a lot of reasons that that's not a good thing to do. And if it's not a good thing to do, then you better have good reasons for accusing someone of doing it. But anyway, he was like, well, I think it's, you know, she was just describing the character of the people in her mentions, and you should examine why you reacted the way you did. And I was just like, this just collapses my respect for the magazine. I don't know what to tell you. It's a matter of fact. We're talking about something that either happened or it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not basic respect for that shit, I don't know how to communicate with you. And I guess that's the difference between an intellectual and a journalist.
So you're saying you're happy that he had relationship turbulence.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. And I think I'm just saying I know this guy.
Okay.
Well,
so what happened in this? So he is married to Emily Gold.
Gold. And a while back, she sent out on her Substack...
Mm-hmm.
A note saying that she was getting divorced because marriage and monogamy are a trap for women.
Yeah, so she put this out.
And she asked for Venmo donations to support her in her custody battle.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much she got.
I also wonder that.
What'd she do with it?
But she says, actually, she was just having a severe and prolonged manic episode.
She indicates in this essay that she sent that from the psych ward.
Yeah. And she was hospitalized for her manic episode.
Yeah.
Now, let me just make a prediction. May I? This essay is going to be treated a lot differently than Shit by Freddie DeBoer. But they literally have the exact same problem, and they did the exact same shit.
That's interesting. Hey, Freddie should write about it.
They each had a manic episode, did some crazy stuff while they were psychotic, and then had to come back to normal life and come down from and deal with the shit that happened during their manic episode. I'm also bipolar, by the way.
Me too.
I just, you're the opposite. You're okay. Unipolar.
Yeah, I'm zero polar. Yeah, I don't have any poles.
No poles. You're in the same mood every day, no matter what.
Well, some rain tired or shine. Or hungry.
Sometimes you get tired or hungry, but you know.
Like a baby.
Yeah, if you're well rested and fed, you're in a good mood.
That's true.
But anyway, I mean, I immediately thought of Freddie when I read this. And I'm a different kind of bipolar. I'm bipolar type 2, so it's depression dominant with hypomania. There's never actually mania. There's just a lot of depression. Anyway.
That's the elite. You're the elite bipolar.
I don't know what it says about you if you're type 1 versus type 2. I mean, I think there's a general recognition that type 2 is not as bad. Because you can...
I would have made the bigger number the worst one.
You think so?
Yeah, it's just a little more intuitive that way.
And you know, there's a school of thought in psychiatry that bipolar type 1 and 2, you know, are essentially different disorders that you just have, you know.
That's dirty. They need different names then.
Yeah, they're like bipolar type 2 is just major depressive disorder. That's all it is.
Why can't it just all be kind of just flavors of crazy, you know?
Well, some people say that there's just psychotic disorders and mood disorders, and it's really not worth picking out specific titles are trying to typify them when you can just be like, you have a psychotic disorder, you have a mood disorder. And we treat psychotic disorders and mood disorders basically the same way. And there are degrees of severity in each category.
Yeah, everyone's always looking for these categories.
Yeah, yeah. They're very important to people.
Same with the queer stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, discreet. Why not just, we're all just queer.
Yeah.
In various ways.
Yeah. Know? No, but I'm ace.
I'm Ace, I'm Demi, I'm, yeah. You know, it's like just queer, just, you know, a little
like,
bit different.
I like the demisexuals because they're like, I can only have sex when I'm in love with someone. I'm like, that's its own sexuality. You're exactly right. That's not just sort of being a normal person.
Yeah, that one should be disallowed from queer.
Yeah, but you can't kick anybody out.
I'm kicking that one out.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, they said, you know, when we've gone over this many times in our own life, but I don't know about here. I don't know if I should do this bit. When I was growing up, and I was trying to understand what does it take to be queer, I was told that as long as you identify as queer, you're queer.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and identified
as queer.
So I'm in the community.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. So
I think you've got to come up with some kind of way to describe.
That's not what they said. They just, all you get to do is identify it. So, I mean, is that just make an utterance and genuinely feel it? They say, you know, as long, if you don't feel like a gender, that's queer.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you I feel like a man. I mean, I know, like, objectively from... But I wouldn't say I, like, sit around and I'm like, I'm a man.
You seem like a man.
But, you know, if you read the definition of it, you know, of agender, people who identify as having no gender or gender they describe as neutral, you know, no internal sense of being a male. I don't know that I have an internal sense of being a male. Does anyone?
No.
I don't know.
Some people have to.
So, anyways, I'm queer. Carry on.
Anyway, it's a sad essay. And I think the essay doesn't think this is what happened, but it just seems very clear that there was...
The essay is The Lure of Divorce.
Yeah.
On thecut.com.
Yes, and...
in it, she talks about having a mental breakdown that results in her being institutionalized. She, I don't know that she ever actually divorces her husband, but she...
They don't actually get divorced.
She definitely announces it. And even post the come down of the manic break, she still is very, it seems like, insistent on divorce. At this point, mostly her grievance being the division of household labor being unfair to her. Though she's also grieving about a certain insecurity she has about his more successful career. Though, again, parenthetically, I don't know why she thinks it's more successful. And then they all kind of come together at the end after much therapy, and it seems like after he has decided to pitch in a little bit more around the house.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it, but I'm sure the gold lies in the details. So do you want to pick out any pieces?
You know, I understand why she's upset that the guy wrote a book about raising their kid. I would personally be kind of pissed if you wrote a book about raising our kids, just because it's private, man. Like, that shit, you know, you gotta...
She gave a couple of objections to it, one of which was that she felt he was writing a book about raising Rafi.
Yeah, and she was doing
while she was raising him.
Yeah.
That, I think, is a little bit... I can understand the frustration there. But... Yeah, I mean, it says that he wrote the book with her support and permission.
Yeah, but then she later looked at it and was like, no, this sucks. I hate it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You can do that. But it reminds me of...
What's there to say about raising a kid?
Yeah. Everybody thinks that their kid is unique and special and that they're... particular experience of parenthood, you know, deserves reflection.
I guess if you're really,
I think across the board they're similar.
Literary, and maybe you spot things that others don't see because you've just got a differently tilted mind or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I haven't read the book, but
maybe
she
just needs some money.
She raised this objection, and I mean, I think it's understandable.
Keith, I mean, the thing about the cooking was real, was actually a little bit troubling.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, no offense to Mr. Gessen, who I don't really know, but I thought, you know, aren't these supposed to be progressive gentlemen?
Yeah.
He's telling me he doesn't know how to, he literally doesn't know how to make fucking spaghetti.
Yeah. That was the implication.
I don't. I mean, this is something you shouldn't divorce over. You should probably just, like, get it fixed. But what's going on?
My home dog. What were you doing when you lived alone?
Well, yes, he was in his 30s.
In his 30s, living with roommates when they got married.
And, guys, I mean, this whole idea, I don't know how to cook, I don't know how to cook. Do you have YouTube? Literally, go on to YouTube. Whatever you want to cook.
They've got information.
There's a fucking video that'll show you how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even like read a recipe and you're like, oh, I don't really know how. They just watch the fucking person do it.
Yeah.
And you just do the same thing.
Yeah. I don't get that.
That's just, that shit really honestly drives me up the wall.
And I can't conceive of what the hell you were doing when you lived by yourself.
Takeout, I guess.
Emily
he got
Gold,
mad at her for getting takeout.
Yeah, he got mad at her for getting takeout, and that was the actual meltdown of the relationship. That was the point where she was like, I've had enough, I'm leaving. She says she's got celiac disease.
There used to be a welfare benefit for celiacs in Finland.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did they get rid of it?
They did.
Did they get rid of it because everyone has celiacs now?
They got rid of it because the justification for it was that the food for celiacs people, their diet was more expensive. So they would give them like 20 euros a month to essentially offset the extra food costs that they had. But then it was determined over time that, you know, with innovations and whatever, that actually a celiac person could eat at the same, you know, could spend the same and get a decent diet.
Oh, that's an improvement.
And so they said, we don't need this benefit anymore.
That's a rational reason for getting rid of a benefit.
I love that benefit. It's so niche, but makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I thought this was an interesting essay. It's an essay about mental health. And I think it very accurately describes, from what I can tell, the experience of mania. But I just think it's interesting who's allowed to kind of skate on past bad actions based on mental illness.
Yeah, you're right. Because you can either look at it as someone who... People, you know, they have different levels of skepticism about this.
Yeah.
Mental health, in general, I think it's a tricky question, right?
Yeah, it's an unsettled one.
It is unsettled. If someone who is mentally ill is, as a result of that, doing destructive shit to you...
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
Yeah.
How do you understand culpability? How do you understand what you're supposed to do? It's not straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had it before where... People who were, I will keep them unnamed, openly mentally ill and unstable in ways that, I mean, they would acknowledge and that you could just see based on what they were doing, who were, you know, essentially defaming me in ways that were kind of destructive.
Yeah, Jude Ellison Doyle said that he could not go to a book signing because he was afraid you were going to literally kill him.
Yeah. I've never even met this person.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck about your book signing.
I'm not going to kill anyone.
Yeah, there's no history of violence. There's nothing. There's no threats being made. There's no reason to think that.
And so you want to, my impulse is to be like, well, this person's mentally ill, so like you should just give them a pass.
Yeah.
Just give them a pass. But then you're like, but other people, how do I make sure other people know that this is not real without making this person more crazy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. I guess at some level, look, we acknowledge self-preservation as like a key, as a primary thing that people are allowed to put above everything else, right?
Yeah.
So I guess in that context, if it's necessary for self-preservation to blow someone up because they're acting in destructive ways due to their mental illness, then I guess you just have to do it.
Yeah.
I did not actually do that, but I suppose I could have been justified in doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a difficult situation. I ended up talking with this person's boss, and the boss was basically like, yeah, we leave him on the payroll so he can get insurance benefits. But everyone is, in his mind, locked in this web of deceit and intrigue. That's what he said, this web of deceit and intrigue.
People kind of knew, but some people didn't. And some people maybe knew, but were just thought it was opportunistically useful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, in a case like, I don't know, man. Like, in a case like this, there was a person, I remember this from the ticket, because it was a really funny Norm segment. And she was an Olympic athlete, and she had BPD.
Mm-hmm.
And when she would get manic, she would just have sex with, like, dozens of guys. Mm-hmm. And she was married.
BPD is borderline personality disorder. Bipolar disorder is a different disorder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, whoops.
Shit. But it's both the B and the P and the D.
Yeah, but bipolar is one word.
I need to send some corrections. No, okay, yeah, so whatever. She had one of those fucking things. And when she would get manic, and it was like her husband kind of, you know, like stuck around and was just like, well, she's just fucking mentally ill.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, brother. Like, at some point, you probably just gotta say, well, I mean, she is, but it's not working.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to recommend in a situation like that.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
you should put it on relationship advice.
It's essentially what's happening here, a version of that, right?
Yeah.
Is that in a manic state, she does something real wild and really destructive to their relationship. It's not go have sex with dozens of guys like this Olympic athlete. But it's, you know, destructive.
She says she cheated.
Did she?
Yeah.
Cheat. Oh, yeah, she did. I had managed to cheat on my husband. Sometimes when she left, but before she went in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's fucking fast.
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, it is the same. Mm-hmm. It's not dozens, but, you know. I don't know. What do we do with this? I mean, I guess you obviously respect that someone is willing to forgive and whatnot, but.
Yeah.
If that's you in that situation.
Yeah. That's a tough one, man.
You know, you want to be like, oh, well, that wasn't really them. And it's like, I mean, it's them. Periodically, it is.
I want to read Freddie's take on it. You know, that's about it.
What a fucking mess.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Mania, I mean, it fucks people's lives up.
You feel bad, though, for the person. Like, it's not when a normal person cheats, you're like, you suck.
Yeah.
And here you're like, oh, you're mentally... you have a handicap.
Yeah.
And I know that's bad. But then you're like, yeah, but also, what is this guy supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have we settled this as a society? Are you allowed to break up with someone if, not just because they're mentally ill, but because they wronged you in a way that would normally be understood as a wrong, but in this case is attributable to mental illness?
Yeah.
What is the rule on that?
Yeah.
We need a debate resolution. That would be a fun debate resolution.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I mean, because as a society, as you point out, this is just an unsettled question. We don't really have a story about it.
We don't. We forgive people who, you know, do weird things because of especially intellectual disabilities, for example.
Yeah.
We don't take that too seriously. But, you know... Don't usually definitely say if someone cheats and you want to go, there's near 100%. No one says you have to stay. That's a settled thing for sure.
I will say this. Back when the Substack email went out saying, I'm getting a divorce and I need you to Venmo me for my custody battle. Did I not call that this was a manic episode?
You did.
I have a radar for it.
Apparently a lot of writers have this problem.
All writers are insane.
I write.
You know. Well, yeah, that actually I said that at a party the other night. I was like, all writers are crazy in various ways, and someone's like, lawyers are writers.
That's true.
I was like, dude, blow me.
I was a writer before I was a lawyer.
My 7-year-old's a writer too. She writes.
Hey, I was published.
I mean, I don't disagree that you're a writer, but it's not because you're a lawyer.
No, you're right. No, that's funny. That it is. people who write copy are writers. Advertisers are writers.
My mother had to write emails in her job as a government contracting agent. So was she not a writer?
Yeah, you were in a party full of would-be lawyers.
Yeah.
How was that? Got to be careful here.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, I feel bad about not being a lawyer, having a more advanced
degree. See, you're like her now.
Yeah.
You're like, my husband is. See, but you can't ever really feel like I'm doing better than you because it's just too, what I do is too out there.
They're just not comparable. Just trying to do two different things. It's good because I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with an artist.
Well, that's for behavioral reasons,
yeah,
I think, right?
I'm the unstable one here, and I will be occupying
that. But your job is much more conventional in that you've moved through the institutions,
yeah.
Right? You moved through the New Republic, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Atlantic. Like, you're going through all these very... Whereas I'm just, like, out here doing a bunch of solo bullshit... That manages to succeed, but is kind of hard to parse. Like, how do you understand my think tank exactly when you're putting it up on the scoreboard of career success? I don't know. It's not I became the executive vice president of CAP. I'm a think tank president, I guess, but it's one I just like fucking filed a, got an LLC for, you know?
Yeah.
The same with like my solo legal work and stuff like that. It's not like I made partner somewhere, but you know, I could become partner.
Could happen.
By just making my own law firm, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, we're rambling at this point.
Yeah, we are. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
I guess I have to edit out my Charlie horse.
Yeah, no, you should leave it in. It was some real drama on the cast.
I wasn't sure if I was having a heart attack or
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
I was trying to keep it, and then I thought it would go quickly, but... All right, shit, I don't know. Now I'm rambling. Let me get Mr. Perry.
Adios, mofo.